Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK.
Certainly do. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Once again, I've got to thank Dave, my partner in crime, for the great slides and the great script for this evening. A great head-up for the show this evening as well, so give you something to think about, those gentlemen. And so let me start by saying about the banner. This is the English Defence League radio show, Fuzzy Business. There you go. That's something to think about straight away, isn't it? Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we will be discussing the fuzzy side of media, governments and globalism. We will include an update on the Iranian Revolution as we bring events in the UK and across the world into the sharp focus so fearlessly, so feared by today's tyrants. And not forgetting, no surrender, ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s. I think he was a prime minister or a politician of the time. Probably classed as one of the Whigs back in the old days, ladies and gentlemen. Just let you know, that's what the conservatism and things like that was based on back in them days. But I'll go on to the next part. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late great President John F. Kennedy. As I say, both sets of those words are so important in the times that we live, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? But without further ado, let me bring on my best friend, Dave, and all you great listeners across the United States and wherever you might be. We love you all. With that, Dave, over to you, buddy.
And welcome to everybody listening to the program, and thank you, Jeff. Yeah, and welcome, of course, also to the people in the chat. We're going to have a lot for you this time, and just before that, though, tell you how to get into the chat and give Jeff a shout-out. Go to blogtalkradio.com, because we podcast here live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the U.K., and that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. You go to blogtalkradio.com and you type in English Defense League Radio Show or EDL Radio, follow the links. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat. And remember that these shows are archived both here at Blog Talk Radio and with our great partners at TECN.TV on their radio page. So give that a listen. We've got some great shows from past weeks and months that you can give a listen to. Really get some great information there. But Jeff, before we begin, do we have anybody in the chat right now?
We certainly do, Dave. And of course, that is we see our very own Duck Northwest Media has become a regular to the show, especially in the chat, and he's putting his thumbs up, and Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and he's also been saying thumbs up Dangerous Dave Milner, and then he's got his thumbs up English Defence League. God bless you, brother. Good to have you here. We've got another gentleman who probably be joining us very soon, I hope. And of course, that's around Bigfoot, isn't it, Dave? But there you go. I'd like to just let you know, Dave, yes, we've got Northwest Media has joined us in the chat this evening. Back to you, bro.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. All right, Duck, welcome. Welcome to the show. Now, Jeff, we do love Christmas around here, and we love to also help our listeners and our fellow men. Would you say that's a fair statement?
I think so. I think we've always looked at things in that way. You know, I think it's a nice way to go about life, my own personal. And I know you feel the same, don't you, Dave? And hopefully millions of our listeners. You never know, there might be millions, might be Dave.
Think big, Jeff. Think big. That's the way you should always do. Well, what we do, we like to help people, especially this time of year, because it's so difficult to try and find that perfect Christmas gift for someone you love or someone you know. And to that vein, We thought we'd kind of clue you guys in on a place that's been around for about a year or so, but it has some really unique gifts. And there's nothing like giving a unique gift. So I'm going to let you guys hear this one here. It's just under about a minute and 45 seconds longish. So check out this sort of advert. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Hey, Discount Dan here, and boy do I have something for you. You ever do something bad and need to send a gift to somebody to make good for your f*** up? But with all the gifts out there, where do you get them? Why not trust a stranger with that decision? For the right amount of money, I can be that stranger. I'm the best stranger you know. Totally. So here's how it works. Firstly, you send me money and a name. Then, you tell me what you did. Then I decide what basket to send them. And friends, let me tell you, I got all kinds of baskets. Accidentally kill the wrong target in your half-assed assassination plot and want to say sorry? Boom. Discount Dan condolence basket. Full of jam. People like jam. I made the jam. It's pretty good. Nothing says sorry like baked goods, which you'll get with the sorry I burned down your place of business. Here's some store brand bread in a big, big bag basket. There's even a note on the side that says you're sorry, so you're automatically forgiven. That's how it works. I promise. But what if you were the wrong party? No worries. Revenge baskets. What they think are avocados might be grenades. Probably. Maybe there's a nuke in there. Look, Renanuke went out of business and I had to move my stock elsewhere. So my loss is your gain. I got hornet baskets, bee baskets, baskets trapped full of thermite. That's right. I got baskets for every conceivable situation. Remember, next time you need a basket sent, whether condolence, revenge, or congratulations, call me, Discount Dan, and I'll absolutely take your money, guaranteed, because I care. Oh, I almost never mix up, like, the condolence and the revenge baskets up, but is it almost, don't worry about it, send me the money, we're good. All right.
And Merry Christmas, and welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff.
Make sure they're not
there
going to jump up there. It's totally hilarious. And as you could hear, I like to tell her a couple of times, Charlie, stop trying to be a superstar on the radio. I mean, you can hear her, can't you? she's trying to get on a talent show or something. That's what it is, Dave. She's starstruck.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe sending Li Jiping one of those baskets. But you know, it's really difficult because I can't decide between the basket full of pit vipers or the basket full of funnel web spiders. You know, I mean, so many choices, right?
choices, Dave, isn't it? Our choices. Decisions.
Oh, yeah, it's difficult, but just remember, everybody, Discount Dan will take your money, guaranteed. All right, now, we're going to get into the show.
Don't expect a receipt from him, mind you, but he'll spend your money.
Or if you do get a receipt from him, just be sure to really, really very carefully check the package. Well, actually, get somebody that you're not too fond of to check the package, okay? Let's just get that.
Very
all right.
Good, Dave.
Now, we're going
to sound like the
bloke
who was just
this.
Doing it a minute ago. That's how good he is.
Well,
very
you know,
good,
he's got a magnetic personality, okay? Guys, we're going to start out... One of the things that you can always depend on, whatever happens, is for Mohammedans to mess it up, okay? But we're going to start that out with a little something about the World Cup, because I know you guys in the UK are, you know, really excited about the World Cup, and I'm going to go ahead and run this one, and then I'm going to get right into a story about, in the UK. We've got a few of those, and they're, I won't call them good, but they're interesting, all right? And they point to a lot of things. But let's begin this one. It is going to be about close to 3.5 minutes. So, guys, check this out. This is Mohammedans doing what Mohammedans do. You're listening to the English Men's League Radio Show.
Rioting Moroccans in Brussels after World Cup victory were inspired by a hatred of the West, says top academic. By Peter Cattell on November 30, 2022. Hatred of the West largely inspired rioting Moroccans who flipped cars and set fire to property in Brussels after a World Cup game last Sunday, an expert has claimed. Professor Ruud Koopmans, an expert in migration, integration and transnationalization at the Berlin Social Science Center, has claimed that a hatred of the West is what largely inspired rioting Moroccans to riot in Brussels and cause civil disturbances in other cities on Sunday. Prompted by the Moroccan football team's victory over Belgium, cities in both Belgium and the Netherlands saw significant violence, with a large Moroccan population in Brussels, in particular, causing substantial mayhem in the European capital. According to a report by Bild, while the German professor emphasized that regular football hooliganism likely played a role in the violence, he said that the rioting itself was ultimately the result of a hatred of Western nations instilled into a number of Arab migrants and their descendants. Many young people of Moroccan origin do not identify with the country they live in at all. The rioters have torn Belgian flags from balconies and attacked police officers, Koopmans said. This shows a deep hatred of the state. The academic, who serves as the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the German Center for Integration and Migration Research in Berlin, also emphasized that many migrants are shaped by radical Islamic beliefs into hating their Western host nations. They are shaped by anti-Western propaganda in mosques or by politicians and the media in their Arab home countries, and therefore see the West as the enemy of Islam, which wants to destroy everything Muslim and oppress Muslims, he claimed. In particular, sizable Western support for the State of Israel is used as evidence of a global conspiracy against their religion, with many reportedly seeing themselves as victims of a worldwide fight against Islam. With at least 12 people reported as being arrested in relation to the violence in Brussels alone, many politicians have been quick to attack the riots as evidence of migration policy failure at the EU level. The excesses of violence in Belgium and the Netherlands were clearly ethnically shaped. The perpetrators came from the Moroccan parallel societies. Young men from North Africa showed their host countries where the gavel hangs. One alternative for Deutschland MEP, Joachim Kuz, said in a statement seen by Breitbart Europe. Moroccans are the largest immigrant group here in Brussels, and the riots yesterday showed very clearly how things are going with their integration, he went on to say. To make matters worse, Professor Koopmans fears that similar riots could take place in other parts of Europe, with the academic singling out Germany as being at risk due to its large population of ethnic Turks. According to the experts, many with a Turkish background hold a hatred of the German state in which they live and feel like victims, and such a hatred is fanned by the story of the oppressed Muslims propagated by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Follow Peter Cattell on Twitter, @Peter_Cattell. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And welcome back to the English Men's League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell.
Well, you know, the story in itself... Oh, sorry, Dave. I hope I wasn't speaking over you, Dave, because I tried to just unmute myself just at that time. So, you all right, Dave?
Yeah, buddy, go for it. That's what I said. Go on.
Okay, yeah. I just didn't want to talk over you. just about the story. Well, you know, they'll make any excuses that it's this or that. But really, truthfully, we all know that it's their cult that's causing this problem most of the time. I mean, what do we do? What does the West do? Just give them a pat on the back and give them a sack full more cash? Because that's what everybody seems to do. Politicians, oh dear, they've been rioting them chappies. Yeah, send them another sack of money. I'm sure that will sort them out for a couple of days. Do you know what I'm saying, Dave? Because this is what they do. We've had riots over here where they decide to throw money at where the trouble was. They'll sling a lot of money in there. And this is what you'll see. And once you open up to that, you're open to them exploiting you and kicking off here, there and everywhere, and that is what we're seeing, all in the name of football, and it gives the football a bad name, does it? Look how the bad football inside. You know, why riot? Because you're beating Belgium. I don't get that. You know, celebrate. But you don't have to burn the place down over it. Do you understand what I'm saying, Dave? It's just absolutely pathetic. That's you, bro.
Well, yeah, I mean, now we've had, and this particular thing I'm going to talk about doesn't really have anything to do with Muslims, but over here in the States, we've had this with times when, a team will win the Super Bowl or a team will win the World Series. And, the people in the city that had the team that won, you know, they kind of lose their minds and everything, and they celebrate big and all that. And that's a good thing. But it's never a good thing to take it to an extreme where you're flipping cars and setting fires and stuff like that. Some of that's happened over here in the States. And it's just not the proper way for a fan to behave. Okay, your team won. That's great, you know, and celebrate, absolutely. But remember that other people's property and other people's lives and other people's physical beings are not there for your amusement. And that, Jeff, I think is really where this story comes in. Okay, because you heard the phrase in that story, parallel society. And you've seen it over in the UK, and it's happening over here in the States. It's everywhere. You get a large concentration of these Mohammedans. They don't want to integrate. That's the thing. They don't want to integrate into our nations. They don't want to be a part of us. They want to grow to a size large enough to dominate, to where they can dominate. Jeff, you're right on the money right there. That's what they want. And the sad thing is there are so many people that won't see the truth that's right out from under them. They talk about it's racism. Islam is not a race, all that other stuff. But this is their natural behavior. And we're going to get into some more stories about that, focusing
the
UK here as well.
We're talking about that, but look at the way that we were treated, being a part of the English Defence League and standing up for human rights and things that we believe in. That these paedophiles, the paedophile rings out there, and we were the bad guys, and it was always they was put in the bed for light, because we were supposed to be the problem. Why? Because we was pointing out the problem. That is what I'm saying, though. That we, as the English Defence League, in the day, we suffered. Yeah, it's a being. Standing up and doing what was right. No, it's crisis. No, you shouldn't. You should just bow down to them and let them carry on. Not on our watch. That weren't going to happen. You know what I mean, Dave? This is it. This is where we... I don't know. Things have changed now, Dave. I'm not on the streets anymore. I'm not doing what I used to do. But I'm just saying, if you let them get away with it, they will continue down to that dark pit where there's no return, and you just got problems here, there, and everywhere. I mean, the grooming still continues in this country. All the things that we talked about for many years and went to places is still happening. Look at Telford, Dave. Look at Telford. Back to you, mate.
Oh, yeah, Telford and many other cities in the UK. And in the States, and in Europe, and everywhere that is a non-Muslim area, country, whatever you want to call it, it's just their behavior. And it's, as we've pointed out here many a time, it's the Quran that lets them get away with that kind of thing. Now, I'm going to, now there is always some pushback, or it looks like pushback. Yes, and listeners. And I'm going to read this right here now. This is this is from the Hull and East Yorkshire News. All right. Now, the headline here is Hull grooming gang investigation is a quote-unquote priority for police with a big budget to match, says the chief constable. All right, now the subhead under that says new look officer team backed with 500,000 pounds worth of dedicated funding. And now this story, by the way, is by Angus Young, and it was filed on the 29th of November, guys. So if you want to go and look for it, that's the place to go and look for it, the headline and the reporter. This isn't a long story. I'm going to try to read this, and I apologize because I don't read things very well. I usually try and find stories with robots that'll do the reading for me, but we're going to give this a go because this is important. All right, a reopened investigation into alleged child sexual exploitation in Hull is being backed with more than 500,000 pounds worth of dedicated funding. 3 months ago, the Humberside Police announced the creation of a new investigative team of officers to probe allegations of abuse against two victims in the city. It followed a two-year investigation into the claims by the force under the Operation Marksman banner. Okay, although more than 30 arrests were made during that period, no charges directly relating to the allegations were secured. A subsequent evidential review of Marksman was carried out by a national team of officers specializing in appraising child sexual abuse investigations by individual forces. All right, and that's okay. After that team delivered its finding and recommendations, the force decided to establish a new team of dedicated to recommence the investigation. Speaking for the first time about the move, Humberside's chief constable, Lee Freeman, said it was the right thing to do. Right, I'm going to scroll down just a little bit, guys, but I know that once I'm done reading this, Jeff is definitely going to have a comment or two to make, and so am I. All right, now when I continue, for me, the decision to look again at these allegations is an example of how we are going about turning the good grading. We received from His Majesty's Inspectorate for providing a service. Can't believe they got a good one for that, of victims of crime into outstanding. The inquiry remains a priority for us, and we are not going to let it drop. Okay, so that, now of course you know where to go to get the rest of the entire story, guys, but that's the basic here. And what I want to do is give Jeff a shot at commenting on this one first. Jeff?
Well, it seems like there is some information out there that they are actually investigating some serious crimes. They're taking another look at it. But that's good, but this should have been done probably a few years ago. We all said that, actually. They always leave it to the last moment. And then, because they've got the eyes on them, that they got to make a show. And that is exactly what that story says to me. They're making a bit of a song and dance about it because the eyes are on them. And they've had some bad publicity of late. So, of course, what do you do when you get bad publicity? You do a PR stunt. That's exactly what's going on right now. I don't want to say no more about it, though, because I think that PR stunt is what we're seeing played out. And, of course, they're putting it, you know, in the main media. You know, they'll lap it up. Yeah. Some of us are a bit more clued up than a lot of others. I think that's what comes down to, Dave. And I'd like to pass it back to you for your comments, Dave.
Well, Jeff, I think you've got it nailed. Certainly this happens with police departments all over the place, but the sexual grooming thing of the Muslims actually going after young non-Muslim children has been a problem for decades in cities all across the UK, and suddenly Hull comes under the eye of a quote-unquote investigation. The fact that they gave them a rating of good after they had 30 arrests over 2 years and none of those were related to what was going on is basically an insult to those poor kids that have been whose lives have been destroyed. But hey, they're going to do it again. They're going to open another investigation, and now they've got £500,000. To quote unquote spend on that investigation. And Jeff, what I would like to see would be a proper audit of that money, because I have a big suspicion that a lot of that is going to be spent at the bar and at other places like that. I have a feeling that there are going to be some police officers that are going to be partying hardy. What do you think, brother?
Well, yes. I mean, of course, don't forget, it's the time of year. Christmas and all that, a Christmas ball. So what do you think the money, you know, they throw a monkey in, they throw a monkey there, Dave. You know, it doesn't matter to them to throw them another monkey. And when I say a monkey, ladies and gentlemen, 500, I'm saying half a mil their way, so they can have a good piss up on the public spend, on the public money. But, yeah, I'm sorry if I'm being rather sceptical, but unfortunately, these stories, we've been talking about, me and Dave, for many, many years, and they don't get any better, except that they make a PR about it because they've been told that they're good. Dave, can you believe it? They're supposed to be doing, a job on behalf of the public, and they just want to do it really as a PR stunt. It says it all. It sums it up, doesn't it, in a nutshell, Dave? That's it.
Yeah, Jeff, it does, and I mirror Jeff's skepticism here. I mean, okay, £500, for those who don't know, is what, in Cockney slang is known as a monkey, okay, but £500,000, that's not a monkey, Jeff. That's a gorilla.
Boom, boom, Dave. You nailed it, pal. Oh, mate, that was good. Dave's done a classic. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave at his best. This is Dave at his best. Brilliant, mate. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, but you give me way more credit than I need. But the thing is, though, it really is a serious and frustrating thing. These guys know what is going on, and they're doing nothing about it. And it's going on all over Europe, all over the UK. It's going on in the States. And because of the political correctness, they won't just come out and arrest these people and do with them what needs to be done. Because, again, they live in this parallel society like they talked about in the last story here. Okay, so it just shows to go, you guys. I mean, do I expect there to be arrests and real prison time spent out of that £500,000 gorilla? All right, no, I don't. And I don't think Jeff does either. Jeff, is there anything out of chat?
No, I'll be honest with you, Dave. I don't believe it. You know, they can throw money here and money there, but it's okay to throw money. But this is our business, the taxpayers' money. Isn't it, Dave? You know what I'm saying? And it's disgraceful. And sadly, some people who stood up about what's going on, a lot of them ended up in prison for the crimes that these people were doing. Can you believe it? These people who stood up, the EDL, great patriots, stood up and ended up going to prison for speaking out, for standing up against this evil, got thrown in prison. Don't forget, this is how we treat decent, patriotic people in our country. You've seen it in the United States, the way they treat patriots over there as well, Dave. So we've seen it, and it breaks my heart, because a lot of them are good lads, just working class men, you know, sort of who's trying to do the right thing for their country and the people. And this is what happens. You come out worse because you stood up against this evil. Typical. Back to you, though.
Yeah, well, I can't say better than that myself, Jeff, but really, I can't. So is there anything out of the chat, though, before we move on?
Oh, just a minute, though.
Yes, checking our chat.
Just having a look right now. No. Oh, sorry, Dave.
Yep.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, checking our chat.
Sorry.
And no problem. Jeff's got a little froggy in his throat there. But here's the thing, guys. Over the week, this is the next thing. Over the week, we've been hearing about the results of results that have been released out of the 2021 census in the UK, and a lot of people have drawn kind of some wrong conclusions and looked in the wrong places as to what the real nasty implications are from that census. And we're not going to talk about skin color here, because we don't give a damn about skin color. Okay? Forget that. As the old song over here, the old, Funkadelic song used to say over here, funk that. We're not into that. Okay, but there is a larger implication, and it has a lot to do with how we treat each other, with how politicians treat their own nation and everything else. And I'm going to give that to you right now, guys. But listen very carefully at the numbers and listen to the claim that's made overall about the numbers. All right, so this is going to be about 3¾ minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
England no longer a Christian nation as atheism and Islam make gains. Census. By Peter Cattell on November 29, 2022. Less than half of people in England and Wales are Christian, the census has revealed, with both atheism and Islam making major gains. The majority of people in both England and Wales are not Christian for the first time probably since the 7th century AD. Data from the 2021 census published on Tuesday has revealed. According to the information released by Britain's Office of National Statistics, both England and Wales have lost their status as majority Christian nations, with only 46.3% of the population of England reporting themselves as being Christian, while only 43.6% of the Welsh population now describe themselves as being adherents to a denomination of Christianity. While the faith still remains the plurality religion in both countries, it is the first time the total percentage of the population who are Christian has dropped below the 50% mark in modern history, and most likely since the British Isles were converted and moved away from paganism 1,300 years ago. The change is even more pronounced when viewed over longer periods, with today's 46% of those in England professing to be Christian comparing to 71% in 2001, just 20 years ago. Meanwhile, the percentage of people saying that they have no religion in both nations has spiked significantly, growing from around a quarter of the population of both countries in 2011 to over 37% by the time of recording the census last year. Islam saw the next largest overall increase, growing in number from 2.7 million to 3.9 million in the decade, a rise of 44% in 10 years. In all, Muslims now account for 6.5% of ordinary residents of England and Wales, and in 2001 they were 2.9%. Smaller religions also saw an increase, with the number of self-described pagans in the country growing by over 15,000 adherents since 2011, and the nation seeing an extra 200,000 Hindus and 100,000 Sikhs. According to Church of England Archbishop Stephen Cottrell, the results represent a challenge to Britain's Christian population, with a faith leader saying that church leaders can no longer simply rely on people claiming adherence to the faith even if they are non-practicing. We have left behind the era when many people almost automatically identified as Christian, but other surveys consistently show how the same people still seek spiritual truth and wisdom and a set of values to live by, he claimed, saying that the statistic throws down a challenge to Christians, not only to trust that God will build his kingdom on earth, but also to play our part in making Christ known. However, while Cottrell says that people still need a spiritual truth to guide them, it appears that British Christianity no longer has a monopoly on offering that truth, with Islam really enjoying a strong foothold in many regions. While 6.5% of the population of England and Wales overall, there are areas of great concentration, with London's Tower Hamlets borough now being over 40% Muslim. Other regions, such as Blackburn and Darwin, as well as Luton, have also seen their Muslim populations rise to over 30% of their total since the last census, with trends indicating that more areas of Britain may soon follow over the coming decade. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, what can I say when you hear the statistics read out? Sadly, there is a decline in what, you know, me as a child growing up. You know, let's go to Sunday school, you know, Bible class, things like that. How things have changed in that 71 years, or how many years it was, I was, you know, used to go to Bible class when I was a kid. How things have changed from then. Little place called Maidswood Hall. It used to be a little church it was, though. I remember going and as a kid, and, you know, having to dress up, you know, for Sundays, because Sundays was a special day. At that time, there was no shops open and things like that, you know. It was a special day. Sunday was God's day, you know. It's when you're supposed to rest. You know, but it changed. When they changed to opening shops on Sunday, the whole thing come crashing down. Everything around you basically come crashing down. And I've seen it. I've seen it through my life. And how do I feel about it? I'm really sad, Dave. Really sad. And I do not know what the future holds. I do look towards the future and the young ones coming through, that maybe they'll re-establish themselves and bring back what was a great part of our culture and our life. With that, Dave, I just wanted to make that bit of a speech there, because that's how important it is to me. I mean, I've never turned my back on what I've believed in, what I've always believed in, you know, and the good Lord stood with me in a lot of darkness in my life. I'm not turning my back on the Lord, you know. But sorry, I was just going off on a tangent there a little bit. Back to you, mate.
Yeah, but I like the angle that you put on this, because it was the same here in the States, and again in other countries for a long time. Sunday was Sunday over here was the day you get up, get dressed, go to church, and of course, you know, being a kid, you know, you never like getting dressed, you know, dressed up and all that mess and going to church.
Oh, no.
But you know, I mean, it was the thing to do. But the reward, of course, was Sunday dinner, which was always the best. That was always when your mom or your grandma or whoever it really, really put out the big effort for the week. And, you know, it was always good. And over here in the States, what you used to do also, you know, after church is sometimes go for a drive in the car. Just, you know, man, drive around and look at stuff, you know, and things like that. I mean, it's Sunday has turned, as you said, from the Lord's Day just to, usually people don't have to work, but yeah, some people do have to work in little stores and whatnot. But the point here, though, in this story, and I think it's the most important point, is the headline is wrong. And I want to tell you why. Okay. If you go back and look in the story, you'll see that less than, say, 46-47% of the population in that census says that they're Christian. But nobody in that indicates a, let's say, a 53% or 54% population of another religion. So you can't, you know, they... It's divided between atheism and Islam and, of course, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, and things like that there. But the majority is still Christian. All right. You know, we're still talking about more or less 45% of the people in the UK that are still identifying as Christian. And that is the case because if you look at the numbers, that's the way it is. No other religion, faith, ideology, whatever you want to call it, can bring up those same numbers. Everything else is made up from what's left over. So that's the big thing, and that's the big hope, guys. For those of you who follow Christianity, who are like myself, you're trying to be a Christian, you know, live a Christian life, and that kind of thing, guys. There is hope. And we know the kingdom of God will come back to the earth. And there's nothing wrong with telling people that, you know, you believe in Jesus, that Jesus is your shield, that Jesus is your comfort. Nothing in the world wrong with that. You don't need to be embarrassed or hang your head or anything like that because Jesus is Lord. And we're going to celebrate his birth here in just a few weeks. Am I right, Jeff?
That's right. I mean, that is the real... reason behind Christmas, isn't it, Dave? It's the Christ Mass, you know, the birth of when our Saviour was born into the world. Okay, the dates might be off a little bit, but there is still the significance of the reason why that it is celebrated. It's not all superficial with the shops, this, that, and the other. It's the real meaning is what it means, Christmas, Christ Mass. That's what it is. It's what it's always been, and of course, people do look. It is a special time. I mean, you look what goes on the telly. Everything's changed, but it's just nice because it's that season, a season for the Christ Mass. So let's make it as important every year. You know, whatever people don't celebrate. Well, don't celebrate. Go in another room. Go out somewhere. You don't have to celebrate it like what we do. It's down to you. But anyway, that's just the way that I tend to look at Christmas as a Christ Mass. You know, it's when Christ, our Saviour, was born into the world. Anyway, we're almost on a thing about Jesus and that tonight, haven't we, Dave? It's really getting back to basics, isn't it, Dave? Sadly, a lot of people have lost that. They don't even know when you try to explain about. They just look at you with that fuzzy look. That's a good... That's what you had there, fuzzy look.
Nice.
They don't get it, do they, Dave? They lost it, you know. And it's sad, it's tragic when you've got to try to explain, you know, how important it is to me, how important it is to you, Dave. Because it's something that we've always had. It's something we've leaned on when we're in hard times. You know, we've always had, our Saviour to talk to. You know, you know, to help us through some bad times in our life. Yeah, but that everybody's life is different, aren't they, Dave? Not everybody. I wouldn't class myself as ultra-religion or anything like that. I'm just me. But I've got my feelings, and they've always been important to me, and it's helped me through, especially now, later stages in my life when I'm an elder gentleman. And, you know, basically living by yourself is you do, though. You sometimes need the Lord in your life to lighten up your life a little bit, don't you, Dave? Back to you, Dave.
Words of wisdom, Jeff, and you may want to call back in because it's time. And we'll just follow up. Finish up this here, and then we'll move on. And,
yeah,
you know,
I'll do that,
I mean,
Dave, while you're doing your bit, brother.
Okay, all right, guys. Jeff's going to call back in. And really, he's right about everything else, but for the story, just remember, don't let anyone tell you that the UK is no longer a majority Christian nation. It still is. The numbers prove it. They're right there in that story. So point them to that story and say, look at the numbers. Okay, so don't let anybody flim-flam you, and people are trying to do that right now, and that's absolutely not a good thing, okay? And as Jeff calls back in, let's see, I think that this is a good moment to go ahead and play a favorite classic old advertisement that that I grew up with over here in the States. It's you guys can look for it. This is for Hershey's Kisses, okay? This will be about 15 or so seconds. Here we go, guys, and we'll be right back with Jeff. Here we go. And there it is. That's the new one, or the old one. Wow, Jeff, you have got an echo on you, I think. Can you try to call him back, brother?
Okay, Dave, give me a minute, bro. Cheers, pal.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Yeah, this happens sometimes with Blog Talk Radio. They'll, they'll throw in an echo, and it's part of their big system. Oh, well, you know, you can call into the studio. Well, you can, but sometimes you get an echo, and you know, that's something that we have to deal with. But Jeff will be right back, and we'll get right into the next story. But as far as that little commercial goes, yeah, that's the old one. To me, that's the one I grew up with. It's the best one. And there's a new one out now that's all politically correct, and it's got trombones and all the rest of this stuff in it. They took what was a cute little 15-second commercial, and, you know, they've again, tried to infuse it with political correctness and all this trash. And you don't need that. You don't need that. Christmas is about love. And love doesn't recognize skin color or anything of that nature. And Jeff is going to try and call back in. All right. And as he's trying to call back in, I guess we'll move on to the next item. Okay. And guys, Jeff actually alluded to a little bit of this, this story that is, that you're going to hear. All right. So, guys, this here is about 3.5 minutes long, and it's worth a listen. Okay. Welcome back, Jeff. Welcome back. All right, Jeff, I'm going to get into this story that's about 3.5 minutes long here. And but before I do that, is there any comment out of the chat, brother?
Hang on, I've just got back. we got it's Bigfoot out Christmas shopping. That's just a comment I've just had from Duck. I don't know, brother. Possible, because he's normally here, isn't he? So that's what Duck's just asking. So we're not sure, bud. But you possibly might be right. With that, Dave, back to you.
All right, buddy. Yeah, Duck, you might want to you know, if Biggie shows up in the chat, you might want to point him to Discount Dan's website. You know, you might be able to find something interesting from there. But anyway, guys, okay, Jeff pointed this next thing out. It's a reaction of appeasement. And Jeff talked about this earlier in the show, and this is something that is actually encouraged by a certain segment of our populations. In the UK, in the States, this one just happens to have to do with the UK, all right? And this is going to be 3.5 minutes long. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show, complete with Charlie the Superstar.
Worrying correlation between large Muslim populations and deprived areas, left-wing Guardian finds. By Kurt Zindelka on November 30, 2022. Analysis of census figures by a leading left-wing newspaper in Britain purported to show that there is a worrying correlation between the most impoverished regions of the country and Muslim populations. Results from the 2021 census released this week found that 39% of Muslims are currently inhabiting the most deprived areas of England and Wales, the Guardian newspaper reported. The left-wing broadsheet said that while the Muslim population of Britain, which accounts for 3.9 million people, has begun to shift away from urban centers, there is still a worrying correlation between the areas with the worst levels of deprivation and the percentage share of Muslims. The census results, according to the paper, went on to show that 61% of Muslims live in the lowest 40% of areas in England and Wales on the deprivation score. Conversely, a paltry 4% of Muslims inhabit the top 20% of neighborhoods. Since the 2011 census, the Muslim population has risen by 1.2 million to a total of 3.9 million, representing 6.5% of the entire population, an increase from 4.9% a decade ago and up from 2.9% in 2001. As was the case in the previous census, the London Borough of Tower Hamlets recorded the highest percentage of people who describe themselves as Muslim, with nearly 4 in 10 residents, 39.9%, identifying as such. The borough holds the distinction of being the most deprived area in London and the home to the highest level of child poverty. Tower Hamlets was followed by Blackburn with Darwen, 35%, and Newham, 34.8%. Another area that recorded a comparatively high Muslim population of over 30% was Luton, which joined the likes of Birmingham and Leicester among the ranks of cities in which native Britons have become a minority in their own home. It comes as the majority of people in England and Wales no longer profess to believe in Christianity, likely the first time since the 7th century AD that this was the case. The census found that just 46.2% of people list themselves as Christians, as atheism and Islam rose in the rankings. Meanwhile, the London Borough of Harrow remained the local authority with the highest percentage of people identifying as Hindu, who represented 25.8% of the total, up from 25.3% in 2011. In contrast to the deprivation seen in Tower Hamlets, Harrow ranks as one of the least deprived areas of London. Nevertheless, campaigners claimed that the reason for the comparatively poor performance of Muslim areas was a result of government failures to prop up the communities. The Secretary General of the Muslim Council of Britain said, "We're now the second or third generation of Muslims. There's more of us here. Yet, we're still in these cycles of poverty and deprivation. I think part of that is down to socioeconomic conditions where people are housed and the economic opportunities available. I think there's something to really be said about what our politics and policies are doing to help those who are really suffering. There's all these stereotypes and tropes around Muslims, but the reality is that people are actually in cycles of poverty, and these need to be broken." Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you listen to that story, it does dishearten you, Dave, to think what's going on, you know. And it is true, the poverty places is where they congregate. Seems, you know, that this is where they thrive. They thrive in poverty. It's like they did in where they come from, living in that deprived area. and they seem to grow and thrive in those conditions. The worse the conditions, the better the way they grow. You just look. I mean, it's just the way they are. They have more kids than anybody else, Dave. You know, of course they're going to thrive, aren't they? It don't matter if you're top pigs in, you know, big shit. You know, they thrive in that. They're the same. I'm sorry to put them in the same. But I'm just pointing the facts out. Dave, back to you. I probably put it really quite bad there, didn't I? Probably going to have it all crashing down around my ear holes now. Back to you, Dave.
Well, you're not far off, Jeff. I mean, they're in the situation they're in, partly because they don't, again, they don't want to integrate. Right? They don't want to integrate into our societies. As Muslims, they come over to our nations, and they immediately begin to collect welfare, and because they think that it's owed to them. They think, okay, here are all these rich kafirs.
Jizya.
And,
the jizya.
No, okay, folks. Yeah, Jeff just nailed it. The jizya. It is what Mohammedans think that non-Mohammedans owe them. It's in a way, an existence tax. It's a way to appease the Mohammedans so that they won't hurt people. The trouble is, they're still hurting people. Jeff pointed up all of the child sex grooming gangs, the Mohammedan child sex rape gangs, all of these things. They're still hurting people, and yet they still claim that they're oppressed. In fact, they're so oppressed that someone like Tommy Robinson will have to pay thousands of pounds out of his own pocket to defend himself against a bogus lawsuit, and yet these people will get thousands of pounds from the government for top-line lawyers and everything every time one of them gets accused of raping an underaged non-Muslim child. That's how oppressed they are. And what is the solution that the Guardian wants? Oh, well, give them some more money. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
That is the definition of insanity, keeping on doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Am I right, Jeff?
Yeah. It's you keep kidnappers the money. Keep giving them the money. They won't kidnap anymore if you keep giving them money. How wrong are people out there to think that that is the case? Give them money and they'll be happy. Yes, they will be happy for a certain amount of time, and then they'll be back to extortion and all what they've been doing before. It'll be worse the next time. And this is what we're seeing, Dave. You must excuse me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a frog in my throat. I don't know, them froggies get everywhere. Anyway, Dave, that's it.
You're right, Jeff. Yeah, and especially this time of year, I think they're trying to hibernate, but they're hibernating in the wrong spot. They're not wanted in there. They're frog squatters, Jeff.
The frogs hibernate, Dave. I don't know if they do.
I believe at least some do, but hey, don't get me into a discussion of natural science. You know, I mean, let's face it, that they're squatters. You know, they don't belong in our throats. They need to go and find some, you know, a lily pad or something someplace else. You know, stay out of our throats, frogs. Okay, just do that.
Find a lily pad. Oh, Dave, you got
well,
your
yeah,
mind,
exactly.
What are you like? Find a lily pad.
There it is. All right, guys, listen With all this discussion, all right, now you guys heard the bogus headline. Now, I don't think, by the way, that Breitbart was trying to be bogus, but that is what they're saying, that the UK is no longer a majority Christian nation. I don't think Breitbart was trying to be bogus, but the headline is misleading. And I've seen this headline. I know, you know, and Jeff probably has too, looking at the news all over the place, not particularly this headline, but the headline to do with skin color. Neither of us gives a crap about that. Okay, but the thing about religion was really the important thing. All right, but there are some people, ladies and gentlemen, who have taken that headline and run with it and continued something they've been doing for some time. This here is going to be just under 3 minutes long. I'm going to go ahead and play this right now, guys. You are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Check this out.
UK Diversity Group calls to rethink Christmas and fair feelings of non-Christians. By Simon Kent on November 30th, 2022. Too many people feel left out of Christmas celebrations due to their own faith or lack of it, so the traditional Christian season should be downplayed, a UK-based diversity lobby group said. The call comes after statistics showed less than half of the population of England and Wales described themselves as Christian in the 2021 census, meaning Christianity is now a minority religion, as Breitbart News reported. Both atheism and Islam are making major gains as more people reportedly feel left out as a heavy emphasis on celebrating the birth of Jesus can exclude others, according to Watch This SP underscore say, a self-described diversity and inclusion consultancy. The group claims that, from November onwards, the decorations in town centers, the advertising on our televisions, the constant emails from retailers, all combine to imply everyone will be celebrating on December 25th, while evidence suggests that is not the case, Cymru Online reports. They say many people feel left out and excluded from the celebrations, while their own religious or spiritual festival is ignored, while the pressure to spend large amounts of money for no real reason is reinforced. Watch This SP underscore say says modern workspaces are loaded into a pressure cooker, highlighting people in the team that don't celebrate at this time of year, forcing them to either conform to a religion they don't believe in or stand out as a highly visible minority amongst their teammates, who may well be labeling them Scrooge. The group wants a new festive season to be implemented instead of the old. Co-creator Allegra Chapman told the outlet, "Christmas can be a time of fun and joy, but it is also filled with stresses, challenges and discomfort. Rather than forcing everyone to celebrate in an old-fashioned way, in the name of just a bit of fun, there is a great opportunity for organizations to take a fresh look at how and why they bring their teams together. This is not the first time a call to reshape Christmas has been made." As Breitbart News reported, last year UK civil servants axed the word Christmas from a proposed government campaign, for fear the term would offend minorities. The public employees vetoed the use of the word Christmas from being used in a coronavirus testing drive aimed at students, arguing the term runs the risk of offending minorities within the country. The European Commission also released an internal document that advised bureaucrats to avoid terms like Christmas time to be more inclusive and spare feelings of anyone hurt by Christians celebrating the birth of Christ their Savior. Follow Simon Kent on Twitter, follow at @SunSimonKent or email to skent@breitbart.com.
Ah, welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, who is going to be turning his mic back on. Jeff, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I've had to keep mute myself. She's on one tonight, isn't she? I don't know. Must be something to feed or something or other.
It's the season, Jeff. It's December and she knows it. Go ahead,
mate.
Buddy.
Yeah, so I forgot I was going to say now, actually, because she's been doing my head in. Well, I've been trying. So I've got to mute myself because it does come over quite... She's starting up again. I think it's something in a seed day. But no, it was an interesting story. Unfortunately, I was trying to quieten her down and she's really on one. She's bouncing all over the cage. I don't know what's going on. Dave, if she could, can she hear your voice, Kate? Ladies and gentlemen, she's got a thing about hearing Dave's voice and then she goes on one. I think that's what it is, Dave.
That's it. All right. Well, thanks. You know, and of course, a lot of people like Charlie. They think that Jeff's parrot, Charlie, is a great addition to the show. I think it's a hook. I think it's really good. But yeah, this is ridiculous.
Got to arise, Dave. That's what's happening. Starstruck. That's you. Sorry, mate.
No problem. No. This is the same kind of nonsense we've been hearing now for a few years, but they're trying on, as you guys put it in the UK, this headline that says that Christianity is no longer the majority religion in the UK, so we should just get rid of it. All right, we should just have like a bogus winter holiday or something like that, and not say Merry Christmas anymore. It should be something a little bit like this here, guys.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Okay, everybody, settle down.
Mayor, we are deeply offended by the nativity scene in front of the Capitol office. Church and state are separate.
No, no.
That isn't all, Mayor. The school play is doing a nativity scene.
Mayor, the nativity is what Christmas is all about. If you remove Christ, you must remove Santa and Frosty and all that garbage, too.
Hallelujah!
Amen!
And we must put a stop to the cutting down of Christmas trees now!
Okay, people. Clearly, we need to reach a compromise. I'll put together a crack team of my best workers to make sure this will be the most non-offensive Christmas ever to any religious or minority group of any kind.
Good. It looks like they've taken the Christmas trees down.
Yes, and there's nothing Christian either. This should be great.
Oh, this could be such a wonderful Christmas play.
And now, the happy, non-offensive, non-denominational Christmas play with music and lyrics by New York minimalist composer Philip Glass. As I turn and look into the sun, the rays burn my eyes.
Happy, happy, happy. Everybody.
How like
happy,
a turtle the sun
happy,
looks.
Happy, 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 happy.
What the hell is this?
Horrible. This is the most god-awful piece of crap I've ever seen.
Hey, you're the ones who made it this way.
Yeah, it's because the Jews said it couldn't be Christian.
It wasn't our idea to take out Santa Claus.
All you bastards ruined Christmas.
Get him in the ring.
Oh, damn tree hugger.
This sucks, dude. This is like the worst Christmas I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that is, that's what these people want.
Oh, my God,
what
do they do? That was funny. Oh, my goodness, mate. Is it really turning out like that? Really, Dave, honestly.
Well, Jeff, that's, in a way, that's really what they want. That's what these people want. They want, and here's the reason that they want this to happen. Okay, they want this to happen because they want Christ and Christianity out of everything. Because what does Christianity encourage in people? It encourages people to exercise their natural rights, their right to self-defense. All of the other natural rights that they have, the right to defend their nation, the right to defend their children. If none of that exists, then it doesn't exist in reality. All right, and that's why they want to get Christianity out of everything, and that's why they've hooked on this diversity group. Oh, God, yeah, I wonder how much money they scarf off the country in the UK. Are part of the charge to do this, and it's all based on bogosity. The UK is still, by their own census, a majority Christian nation, but they're trying to sell this nonsense, and they're trying to turn Christmas into what you guys just heard. What do you think, Jeff? And is there anything out of the chat about this?
Just a minute, guys. Oh. No, no, it's quiet, man. Sorry, mate.
All right, no problem. Hey, yeah, all right, guys. Now we're gonna turn to some stories that we have about the revolution going on in Iran. Okay, and I'm not gonna read a whole lot of these, but there are some very interesting ones that have happened over the week. And the thing is that this revolution is being covered more in the leftist media than it is in conservative media, where it really should be covered. All right.
That's weird.
I know, Jeff, that's the tragedy. Is it not? I mean, that this should be covered by us, but instead of that, it's being covered by the left.
But we are covering it. That's the thing, Dave. We cover it. We covered it. People like ourselves do. But it seems like mainstream, the lefties are the ones I know CNN's been talking about it, though. You know, what's going on? I just don't get it. I don't understand where the media is at this moment in time.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that the majority, the biggest conservative or Christian conservative media outlets are not covering this. And it really is a wonder as to why they're not, because this is the kind of thing we are concerned with. All right, now, this one's, I'm going to go ahead and read a few of these stories, just a bit out of each one, because this is what we're going to wind up the show with tonight. This one's out of the AP. Iran releases soccer players ahead of the match against the U.S. Of course, that happened some time back. But, again, this is just showing that Iran is beginning to feel the pressure, okay? And that is why, I think part of the reason, Jeff, that sometimes this isn't covered is because people say, well, the revolution doesn't have any leadership, so this is just going to fizzle out. Well, apparently Iran is feeling some of the pressure. Okay, this one comes from November the 29th, and it is by Parviz Boromand. All right, just want to make sure that I get that in there, guys, for the AP. Okay, I'm going to just read the first paragraph or two. The pressure is beginning to be felt. Okay, this is in Dubai, or from Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Iranian authorities said Tuesday that two former members of the national soccer team arrested this month in connection with nationwide protests have been released, get this, guys, on bail. So they just let them go. Just let them go on bail. Yeah. All right. The announcement came hours before Iran was set to play the United States at the World Cup in a politically charged match that authorities are heavily promoting. Yes, and they were heavily promoting it, too, as they grapple with nationwide protests that are well into their third month. All right, and we're going to hit that fourth month really soon, guys. Okay, now that's that story. Jeff, you are the big soccer fan here. And how about a comment on this one?
Well, I see the way that USA beat Iran, and I was quite impressed with that. But at the same time, I did see the Iranians not singing their national anthem, which also made me think, you know, this is having a big effect because the world is watching. The world was talking about the guys not singing along to the national anthem. They weren't showing anything towards their national country. They was there, they was going to play their football and do what they were going to do, but they're not singing to a national anthem that they don't believe in. It's quite obvious. And my respect to the football team, okay, they lost to the USA, but they won in my heart for bravery and courage for standing up against the mullahs. I salute you all. I don't know, some of them might be listening. We salute you. We know how dangerous this time is, but you're in our thoughts and our prayers, because I know that it could be your family suffer as well. But it proves how brave these people are, Dave, that they take everything into consideration. And no, I'm not singing no national anthem. What's going on in my country is disgraceful. So, yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about that, Dave. And, yeah, it was a good match. It was a good match, but the USA was just too good for them on the day. It's a football match. It was not a political thing, as far as I was concerned. But the Iranian football team decided to make a stand and respect, Dave, respect them boys, because a lot of them we might never see again, which is sad. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, and just as an aside, I sent that story, I sent the story obviously in to Carmel Melamed about the Iranian soccer team not singing their national anthem, and he sent me back a mail and said, you know, that's interesting, especially when you consider that the Iranian people really don't, you know, they hate their soccer team, which that could be a reason right there why they didn't sing the anthem. It could be because they're beginning, that soccer team themselves are beginning to feel the pressure. They know they're going to have to go back home. And it could be that, you know, and in fact, I think it is that a growing majority of the people in Iran are saying, no, okay, it's time to get rid of the mullahs. But Jeff, I want to move on to read this next headline here, since, you know, time is passing really quick. Okay, now this one was posted by the AP. All right, and it'll be pretty quick. Iranian general acknowledges over 300 dead in unrest, and I'm sure it's a lot more than the 300, but we'll go down here and read a little bit of this here. All right. Dubai, United Arab Emirates, an Iranian general on Monday acknowledged that more than 300 people have been killed in the unrest surrounding nationwide protests, giving the first official word on the casualties in 2 months. Now, guys, it's got to be more than that. As I scroll down, it's got to be more than that. We're hearing stories about people being shot down in the street. We're hearing stories about the woman revolutionaries being raped in custody. So this is big, and this is still going on, and it's not going away. I'm going to read one more paragraph, and then I want to turn it over to Jeff for a quick comment, and then we have one more to do. Okay, that estimate is considerably lower than the toll reported by the human rights activists in Iran, a U.S.-based group that has been closely tracking the protests since they erupted after the September 16th death of a young woman being held by the country's morality police, or as the underground professor used to call them, their moral minders. All right, so the activist group, it says 451 protesters and 60 security forces have been killed since the start of the unrest, and that more than 18,000 people have been detained. Now, that's a more realistic figure. I think it's probably, you know, even more than that. Okay, but guys, this story comes. Okay, I'm going to try and find a date on this one, but this one came from last week, and you know, it's fairly well up to date. But that's the thing, guys. There are people being killed and worse right now, and this is still going on. Jeff, your comment?
Yeah, it's as we know, when you hear their own figures talking about the fatality rate, we know, most of us know, that the numbers are under to what they should be. You know, let's talk in a conservative estimate, but the true estimate, as you said, is the figures that you quoted, Dave. I think that's more like it. As I say, it seems like the security forces are taking a whack as well. Did you say 86 or 87 of them have been killed along with the protesters, did you say? Or the revolution? Let's call them what they are. These are revolutionary people who want to put an end to the imams and all that crap, and they want a normal country to live in, or to bring their children up in. Back to you, Dave. Am I right? About 86. So the security forces are taking a whack in as well, aren't they, Dave?
Yes, they are. They are. And yeah, I think it's well over 60. But yeah, I mean, this is going on. And as a final, guys, want to point this out. This came from Tuesday of last week, or of this week. You want to say it that way. And it really is telling on how far these mullahs are willing to go to protect their own money and power. This one is, I got this one off of Fox News, but it did appear in many other stories. All right, the Ayatollah Khomeini's niece urges conscientious governments to cut ties with Iran's regime. All right, now this was big. This is his niece. All right, the niece of Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini has urged for governments to cut ties with Tehran over its suppression of anti-regime protests. Again, it's not just protests at this point; it's a full-on revolution. And I'm gonna try and find what her quote was off of this video that she made. But okay, let's see. And I'm gonna try and say her name right, guys. And just give me a chance here, Farida Moradkhani. Yeah, Farida Moradkhani. That's it. The Ayatollah's niece asked conscientious people of the world to support the protesters and pressure their governments to distance themselves from Iran. And guys, I'll get into the what I'm going to say a bit later. Okay, I ask the conscientious people of the world to stand by us and ask their governments not to react with empty words and slogans, but with real action, and stop any dealing with this regime, she said in a video posted by her brother after her arrest on November the 23rd. So see, she's been arrested too. So there, even Khomeini's niece has been arrested, guys. This is real, and it's going on. Jeff, your comment about that?
Yeah, well, sadly, I mean, it's quite obvious. The people, the Iranian people, are fed up to their back teeth with the way that these mullahs are treating the people. And, you know, this is like, you know, a shout in the dark. You know, I'm not going away. I'm not going quietly into the night. You know, I'm going to rage. And that is exactly what the people, the proud people of Iran are doing. And I've got so much love and respect for those people, because we know that probably even now as we talk, Dave, is, you know, people are being killed and tortured, raped. We know that how evil these people are, the way they treat their own people is disgraceful. Hopefully, in the not too distant future, they can see the end of this regime and hopefully grow the country and help it prosper into the country it should be, a beautiful Iran, great Persian people. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Well, guys, that is all we have time. That's all we have time for tonight.
Like a blur, wasn't it, tonight? A blur.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, Jeff, and I want to thank you for your insights. Really, really awesome stuff, my buddy. I want to thank Duck Northwest Media for being in the chat. We appreciate you. Bigfoot, we appreciate you wherever you are. And,
yes,
of course, we appreciate it. And, guys, we'll be back next week, same time. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a good show. But now, Jeff, I got another postcard from the Jam. As you know, they're on their world tour. They're just about done, by the way. They're going to be back in the UK for beginning of next year. But right now, they're in the United States, and they're surfing out in California. And
lucky.
Yeah,
they're over here now. They're doing the right thing, aren't they?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, they needed some time off. You know, I mean, they were playing you out for 7 or 8 years, man. You know, so they need a little bit of time off. And so, you know, they're surfing. And,
not
you know,
one big holiday for that long, isn't it? In our
Well, yeah, you know, they're surfing. They're doing things like doing handstands on the boards and all that stuff, showing off for all the pretty ladies. You know, but
they're not youngsters anymore, are they, Dave? I mean, come on, Shannon. The poor ladies, what they got to put up with? Thank you, Dave.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, but I mean, hey, that's why so many men, you know, in this midlife crisis or whatever, will go and get big, you know, like sports cars and stuff like that. You know. But anyway, we do have Alex. We do have Alex and the Bandits here, ready to play, and you know, again, you know, tossing peanuts at Jeff. Cut it out, guys. All right, get on stage. All right, they're just about ready, Jeff. So, I know you're going to want to check the chat one more time. God bless everybody.
Yeah,
no surrender ever. Ready to play out, Jeff.
Northwest Media, thank you, mate, for your support tonight. We love seeing you here. And we did miss Bigfoot as well. So no, because he always liked I used to always have a chat to him. But anyway, I'll pass it back to you, Dave. I'm not myself tonight. Don't know who I am, but I'm not that great tonight, sadly, ladies and gentlemen. So hopefully next week I'll be clear. I'll be talking to you with a clearer throat and chest next week. So with that, Dave, back to you, brother. The player's out with a great tune. Bless you, mate.
God bless everybody. No surrender ever.
All right, boys. Take us home.
News of the world said we are hooligans. We're the only people to defend your rights. And I won't stand by and watch this country die. So roll Britannia with the
lovely jubbly. Thank you, Alex. We'll see you next week. Dave, just to give you a bit of an heads up, Duck and all Press Media's give a thumbs up and said thanks, much thanks and appreciation to all for the programme. And we appreciate you being here as well and your support. So have a good week and we'll see you next week, Duck. With that, yeah, I think we're done now, aren't we, Dave? So all I'm going to do is just do this here. I've got to thank Dave for his great work tonight. It's been a bit, I've had a few issues myself, and I do apologise for that, ladies and gentlemen. It's just sadly, it's this time of year as well. It's a bit damp and that, and sadly, it affects me. But once again, I've got to thank you all for listening in to this show, wherever you might be. I mean, we do really appreciate you, and we've had a lot of information, because some of the things I've said was rather controversial, but so be it, you know what I mean? That's me, it's who I am. I can be controversial sometimes, but I try to keep myself, you know, above water in most respects, but sometimes I can't help it. I've got to go there, you know what I mean? I've got to go there. It's just who I am. But anyway, we will see you again next week. And I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening as much as myself and Dave has been here presenting the show to you and all the stories that we had for you this evening. So with that, all I've got to say is this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight, and we will see you again next week. Good night, take care, stay safe, and don't forget, no surrender ever. Good night.